This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this Thursday afternoon. And just had lunch with Mayor Gatsis, brought lunch from Casey's Rib Shack in case you missed it. And we are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. And we'd also like to remind you to like us on Facebook. And we also have a brand new website, foodforthoughtnh.com. You can check us out there, and you can go right from there to Facebook from there.
You can. That's right. They're all linked together. And we're also brought to you by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com. Also, Belmont Hall and Restaurant on Grove Street in Manchester, belmonthall.net. Top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. And before we bring on Linda, I noticed that you're starting to, you're doing a little decorating on our kitchen set here.
Right.
With little quotes and little sayings and stuff. Maybe if we have a quiet moment at some time, I can read some of the words of wisdom that you've put on the wall with recipe cards.
Okay. All right. Did you see Una over there sitting?
Yeah,
on the
see Una. Una Williams, our resident
gluten-free
chef and larger-than-life personality.
I tell you what,
we've got a nice stable of people that come to the show, and you're always invited to call, by the way, if you'd like. The phone lines are always there at 866-823-1077. And sometimes we even reach out halfway across the country to talk to one of our guests.
Speaking of which, Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Carol. Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
Hello, Linda. Good to hear from you. How's the weather today in your part of the world, Midwest?
Well, it's about, I'd say, mid-60s. It's a little cloudy. We're supposed to have some real good storms tomorrow, though.
Ooh.
Even the Weather Channel's got us in the severe threat area, so we may be rocking and rolling out here tomorrow. So
I like that.
Yeah. Do you have a storm cellar?
I live in an apartment building. So, but there is a basement. So it's right downtown. The tornado siren's like right outside my building. You can't miss hearing it when it goes off. So,
wow.
That's always a good thing. But you know what's funny is around here, those tornado sirens, they go off, but everybody then starts checking how close is it really. You know.
Oh.
can I just watch it, or do I really need to take cover? Yeah. Sometimes it's a little scary because around here people will go out and look at it instead of taking cover, unless they think it's really close.
Well, I've noticed that some people are now getting so brazen, they take their smartphones with the video, and they stand right at the front door while this thing is like 50 feet away, and just shoot away, and if they live, they've got great video, and if they don't, well, what a way to go.
Yeah,
it is amazing.
Scary.
Because you never know when those tornadoes are going to shift, get bigger, and throw debris farther. You just never know, but it is also kind of exciting to watch them. I stood in a doorway and watched one myself a couple of years ago. So, as it went by the city, it wasn't touching down. So it was more funnel cloud than it was a tornado. But yeah, I stood there and watched it myself. I mean, it's just fascinating.
You're one of those, a storm chaser.
Yeah, almost. I hate being in a car during a storm because that hail's hitting your windshield and you never know if it's going to crack. And one time, my late husband and I, we were driving on a rural highway. And it was so bad we couldn't see. And so he's pulling over the side of the road, and he's like, I can't see the side of the road. Tell me where the side of the road is. And I'm like, it's okay. You've already stopped.
Oh.
it was coming at us so quickly and so fast he didn't even realize that we'd stopped moving. And
then
we were hit the side of the road.
Yeah, they had last night. I was watching the Weather Channel because, Carol, I'm real geeky that way.
The Weather Channel. And I like it once in a while too.
4-inch hail in parts of Texas. Now, I mean, that's
huge.
That's like softball size. And I wonder what insurance must be for cars if you don't park it in the garage in that part of the world. Because I mean, that can kill you. Not to mention what it'll do to your car.
No kidding, knock you out for sure.
Oh, a couple of years ago, just outside, we weren't at home when it happened. But just outside my apartment building, we got home. And all the cars, windshield smashed. It looked like somebody had taken a baseball bat and banged on them. And they had baseball-sized hail. You could see the big indentations in the hoods and the roofs of the cars that the hail had come down and just shattered the windshields of them. It was crazy.
Hey, before we get to your topic, which we will shortly, I posted something on Facebook that I noticed that you responded to yesterday on my page, my writer page, and that is, what would you, what's best, Kraft macaroni and cheese or homemade? Because that's...
Seriously, I could not believe you.
No kidding. He put that on there?
Yeah, but that's because people love Kraft, even though it's junk.
You know what I heard about Kraft though,
yeah.
I didn't look at your. Did you put that in there about Kraft?
No, I did not. But I do have a story on it that they're changing
they're
some,
taking
they're,
out
they're
the
pulling
colors.
Out some of the chemicals they make yoga mats with or whatever. I don't know. That's, but yeah, I was afraid because you don't really know me that well that you thought it, that I thought that there really was a comparison, and of course there isn't, but. There's a reason that Kraft macaroni and cheese has been around for 80 years, because, and a lot of people admit it on my survey. And I got a ton of response. More people, of course, said they liked it, you know, homemade. But I also believe that the people who love it out of the box are kind of ashamed to admit that.
Right.
So I think the survey was skewed a little bit.
I will confess that I do.
Linda.
Now, I don't eat Kraft mac and cheese, but I do eat Annie's Homegrown, the organic version, which is basically what Kraft is doing with their changing the without the preservatives and the chemicals. They're basically doing what organic producers in their box mac and cheese have been doing for ages, using things like annatto, which is a seasoning. Well, it doesn't have any flavor, but it turns it orange. You know, they're just switching, doing what the organic producers have been doing for ages. But I do eat box mac and cheese on occasion, like Mike said, because I like it for a change once in a while. But, yeah, no, if you hadn't made the trick, I mean, come on. You're going to pick homemade.
As long as you don't think that I really love it, because a few people said, Mike, are you serious? Well, that's what you do on Facebook, is you engage people to have conversation as opposed to putting something on there that, you know, they're going to agree with. I don't care if they agree or not. I just want them to talk and see the comments. So, all right.
You're an instigator. I see how this is. Okay.
That's how I built this, whatever you want to call, career that I've had all these years. So, Carol, what's the topic today that Linda will be sharing?
Listeners, we are talking to Linda Ditch of What's Cooking in Kansas, her blog, There and Back Again. You can check it out at lyndaathompson.blogspot.com. And today's topic is picnics. We're going to talk about picnics. Now, I want to ask you, do you know what today's food holiday is, Linda?
Yes, I heard you say this earlier, that it's National Picnic Day, and I'd like to think I was savvy enough to know that when I came in.
Okay.
But
wow.
It's just a fluke. I just happened to think picnic is a good time to talk about them. So.
It was funny. I printed it off, and I'm like, oh, she's already ahead of me.
Nope.
It's her job.
You got it before me.
So what do you have in store for us to talk about for picnics? I have not been on a picnic in so long.
I haven't
long.
Either. No.
I mean, you know, I can't wait to hear what she says.
Yeah.
Daryl and I are going
to
go on a picnic.
People think it's a chore to go on a picnic. If you think about it, you know.
I think that I'm kind of with that. So
yeah. Well, and
make me change my mind.
Well, I posted on the blog today that it's, you know, picnics, going out, eating outside makes, you know, peanut butter and jelly seem haute cuisine, you know, because it's just this nice feeling of being outside and the fresh air and the birds are chirping and the bugs are buzzing, you know, whatever, you know, but it makes it an event if you're having a meal outside. So I think it's a good idea to, you know, this time of year, make up a picnic kit. You know, pick whether it's a tote bag, a picnic basket, a cooler on wheels or something, put in it all the essentials you need to go on a picnic and have it at the ready. So all you have to do is throw some food in, and away you go. And that way you're ready to go at a moment's notice to enjoy a meal outside. And so I put a whole list on the blog today of things to, you know, to put in your kit.
And would that include a ptomaine poisoning, antidote, just in case you... have the bologna out too long and you get sick? I mean, that's my biggest fear is food safety when it comes to picnics. Do you address that, or can you?
Well, it's a matter of, I mean, the rule of thumb is you keep cold foods cold and hot foods hot. And, you know, they're, you know, between freezer packs, cooler packs, thermoses, those kind of things, it's not difficult to keep foods at the proper temperature if you just plan a little bit. One of the easiest ways is just to wrap them up in some newspaper. You got a really hot dish or something, you want to keep it warm, wrap it in some newspaper, you know, really tight, and then throw a towel around it, and it'll keep it nice and warm as long as you're not going for hours at a time.
That's a good tip.
The ideal thing is to eat stuff that's good, hot or cold, at room temperature. I mean, that's why people like fried chicken on a picnic, because it's good cold, it's good hot. It doesn't matter. You know, you have to keep it cold, though, with a cooler pack or something like that. But as long as you're thinking you're keeping the cold stuff cold and the hot stuff hot, or you're serving things at that work at room temperature, like cheese. You know, cheese, you don't, you know, you should bring cheese to room temperature before
Correct.
You serve it,
mm-hmm.
because it tastes better. So you don't have to necessarily keep that cold, like I said, unless it's a super hot day or you're gone for ages. And I put a recipe on the blog for an apple and brie sandwich. You know, that you can take the stuff, you can make it there, you know, and have a sandwich ready to go, that you don't have to really worry about whether you're keeping things hot or cold. So, and that's the ideal thing. Salads that are made with vinaigrettes and not with mayonnaise, or, you know, just simple things, cheese, bread, fruit, you know, some kind of vegetables. You've got a meal, and you don't have to be anything, it doesn't have to be anything complicated.
Right. And, you know, a few weeks back when Tracy was filling in before, Mike, you came on with me full time, Tracy was talking about a pizza that she takes, like, to the beach, or you could take it, like, to a picnic, which I thought was so cool. You know, take, like, one of those rustic crust, you know,
the shell,
uh-huh. and cook it off.
Right.
And then she puts on it hummus
mm-hmm.
and, like, feta cheese or some tomatoes or red onions, you know, a hummus pizza. And she says then she slices it up and they eat it cold, like on the beach. That'd be a great picnic item also. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds
great.
Great
example.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. There are so many great things like hummus or
right.
like cheese, or, you know, that you just don't really have to worry about whether, you know, the temperature you're keeping it at.
Right.
All right. So now do we extend this picnic to doing some grilling? Perhaps you're going to a park somewhere and they've got those public grills, which look pretty disgusting, but, you know, once they get good and hot, you know, everything is okay.
Oh, it kills everything.
Yeah. Do you like cooking on those? Will you bring some steaks or chops or chicken along for that?
I have. I mean, it's a little more planning because you have to tow along the charcoal and all that, unless you want to build a fire in it and try cooking over a fire, which can be interesting. But, you know, you're bringing charcoal and everything. But, I don't, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you're a little leery about the grate, bring some foil. And lay some foil over the top of it. And actually, I saw a person cook vegetables on a grill on top of foil to keep the vegetables from falling through the grate.
He didn't even
poke holes in it. He just laid the foil on top.
And that would work for fish, because fish tends to fall apart as well, if you wanted to get that ambitious, I suppose.
Right. And, you know, as long as you oil it up really well so that the fish wouldn't stick. Because fish likes to stick to everything.
unless you
get it good and oiled.
One of my
favorite things is to take halibut and then take a little mayonnaise with dill, mix that together, and then slather it on both sides of the halibut and grill that. It's so good.
Mayonnaise with, really? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That sounds
delicious. We've done a swordfish kind of that way.
Wow.
And the mayonnaise helps it not stick. Yeah.
All right, so let's assume that we have two adults now, or whatever number. What about making some adult beverages? Is that something perhaps you would put into a thermos, or have you done that, or what would be your suggestion on that?
Yeah, I would get one of those, you know, thermoses or those big, you know, things that you take ice water to the park for your kid when he's playing softball, you know, those
right.
bigger thermoses. And I'd make a sangria. Is what I would do. So I'd throw in some wine, a little brandy, lots of sliced up fruit, and then maybe at the very last second add some bubbly club soda in there to give
exactly.
it some bubbles, and, you know, chill it up in a, you know, put it in your refrigerator and get it nice and chilled, and then before you put it in a thermos or one of those insulated cooler things, put some ice water in there and get it nice and cold, then dump that out. And then put in your sangria, and it'll keep it nice and chilled while you're gone, and you can just, you know, serve it from that.
And then, of course, they sell those fancy plastic, you know, wine glasses that you could even, you know, look the part on a picnic.
Yeah, you can get acrylic wine glasses that are really
exactly.
nice, and they're
exactly.
nice and heavy. And, you know, of course, if you take a red wine, you don't have to worry about chilling anything. Just take
right.
a bottle of red wine. Just make sure you have a corkscrew.
Right. Very good point. Of course, you can get a lot of wines that are good now that have the twist-off caps, and I like those especially for storage in my wine fridge. All right, I want to move you now from, I'm assuming we're kind of in a park setting somewhere. Let's talk about cooking while you're camping over a campfire. It's a little more rustic, but there's something very charming about that. And Linda, I don't know if you've ever been a camper, but people love to cook over the open fire out in the woods.
My ex-husband and I, we used to camp up in Maine. We had a pop-up, and we cooked over the campfire all the time. So, yeah, it's a matter of just don't cook right over the flame. Get that campfire going. Get you some coals and move those coals over the side where you're going to have either a grate. Some campgrounds, they have grates for the fire pit. And you can use theirs, or if you have a grate, or if you're cooking hot dogs on a stick, you know, do it over the coals. Don't do it right over the flame.
Right.
Because then that way you don't burn it and you have a little more control over what you're doing.
I love burned hot dogs. Carol, what about you?
Well, you know, when you're kids,
guys that burn your marshmallows too.
Well, and that's you. I used to do that. I mean, that's just what every kid does. They stick it in the fire.
Right.
I mean, you know,
it's just how it
this
is.
What
because
we do.
They want to see the flames. It's not necessarily that they taste it.
Well, I gave that up one time when I burned my buns, and that was just the end of that for me.
Oh boy.
Okay,
bada
yeah,
boom.
We won't discuss what kind of buns got burned. Okay.
And of course, then of course you make the great the marshmallow and the whole s'more thing. Do you have any special recipes or any twists on s'mores?
Honestly, no, because I think it's perfect the way it is.
I agree.
I mean, how can you, you know, s'more? I mean, the only thing that I could think of is maybe using, you can get, you know, like mint flavored chocolate. Or, you know, maybe a flavored chocolate of some kind, you know?
Actually, using, go ahead.
And using something like that. But, I mean, truly, I mean, you can't beat a s'more with a Hershey's chocolate bar and a marshmallow. And they even have those big, humongous marshmallows now, which if you've ever tried to eat a s'more.
Those are disgusting.
It's everywhere. The marshmallows is everywhere.
They're the size of a child's head. I mean, I just can't. When I saw those, I said, "Who is buying those things?"
No, they do. It's got to be just for fun because it's not pleasant to eat because it's everywhere. I mean, you're sticking to everything the rest of the day, no matter how much you're cleaning your hands. You know.
You know what I was thinking that would be good for us, Samoa? Is that what were we just called?
S'mores.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. I'm thinking of Girl Scout cookies right now. Oh, my gosh. But you know what would be good is a caramel bar on the bottom.
Oh yes.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
I was just thinking of that.
Or even a Heath bar, too.
Or a Heath bar.
Right.
Yeah. So
you
could kind of experiment.
Or a Reese's peanut butter cup. I mean, there's a lot of variation. I think, even though your point is well taken, that you can improve upon the s'more, but you can change it up a little bit and really add some zing to it.
Yeah.
Well, you know what you could do? You could have a s'more bar. You know, you set up all different kinds of chocolate.
Right.
And
yes.
they have flavored marshmallows these days, too. You can do all different kinds of marshmallows and just let everybody go to town. You know, put the graham crackers out, but maybe get some Scottish shortbread cookies or, you know, some other things instead of the graham crackers if you wanted to.
You know, that would be a great idea for, like, a kid's birthday party. That's a neat idea.
Yeah, because they love to roast stuff on the fires.
Yeah. Not my grandson, though. He'd definitely be in the fire.
Oh, geez.
He's one of those kids.
Yes,
okay.
He is. He's very cute, though.
Well, that's what counts. But, yeah, set up a bar and let people put together their own s'mores and just eat chocolate till they're sick, you know?
Well, you give us lots of great ideas on air
and,
of course, on your blog and website as well. How can people find you, Linda?
You can find my blog at lindaathompson.blogspot.com. It's called There and Back Again. You can find me on Facebook, too. I mean, just look up Linda Thompson Ditch in Topeka, and you'll find me there, and I'll be happy to friend you. And I also have a writing workshop Facebook page called Ditch Writing Workshop. You can find me through that, too.
Nice.
Busy woman.
You are busy.
Wichita, Kansas.
No, Topeka.
Oh, Topeka. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Topeka, Wichita.
Capital. Yes. Big capital, you know, that one. Oh, you got to tell Kevin if he comes to Kansas City to check out Kansas City Barbecue, let me know. I'm happy to talk to him about it. So.
Yes.
I think he's coming out for the whatever the
American
championship.
Royal?
I think it's the Kansas City Barbecue Society or something, KCBQ or KC. I don't know what it is, but
well,
I think,
the big one in Kansas City is the American Royal. That's the
oh, it
big
is.
One.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that must be the one he's
the
going to, I would think.
There. But yeah, I mean, and there's even the Kansas City Barbecue Tour. You can go on tour and go to all these different barbecue places
Whoa.
And just eat barbecue like until you can't eat anymore. But yeah, you can actually take a Kansas City Barbecue Tour. They'll teach you the history of it. So.
Well, you know what Casey's Rib Shack's all about because you lived here for quite a while, and it's an oasis in a state that really isn't that big on Southern food or something other than what we are traditional here with.
I know, which is funny because barbecue is just so good. It's like, I would think people everywhere would like a good barbecue.
All right, so what's up? We thought ahead next week to tease your fans.
The Cinco de Mayo next week. I've got
That's right.
that I got in Mexico. We're going to have a recipe on the blog. I'll have a recipe for a mango margarita and a guacamole and a couple of salsas we'll put up on the website, and we'll talk about how to celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds fun. And I love guacamole, different guacamole recipes, so
and
I'll be
I'm going to give you one more assignment on that, a Jamaican margarita, which is about half the calories, but I think the flavor is just as good. And just Google that or look it up and see if you can come up with something, because margaritas are just lethal if you drink them with the full mix. But there are ways to make them. They're about half the calories, and I think the flavor just as good.
Jamaican margarita. I'll have
Jamaican.
To
Jamaican.
Yeah. Jamaican.
Jamaican.
Yeah. Or skinny margarita or whatever. I think you end up using agave and stuff like that instead
yeah,
of the
it's usually
sour
fresh
mix.
Lime juice.
Fresh lime juice.
Instead of sour mix.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
well,
anyway.
Well, like I said, the mango one was one I got in Mexico. So it was made and demonstrated there. So
I bet that they don't use sour mix in Mexico. I'm sure they don't.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I
it
hope
must
not.
Be. I would think it's, I'm trying to remember when we went to Puerto Vallarta. Yeah, I think they were probably all Jamaican. They're all fresh lime juice.
Yeah,
it was lime juice, and there was a lot of tequila.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, give me some Patron Silver, please. I'm a happy camper.
Absolutely.
All right, Linda. Thank you so much, Linda.
Oh, no problem. And talk to you next week.
We'll talk to you next week. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, you are listening to Food for Thought, and we are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Marie of Beer Curie. So very interesting to find out what that's all about.
Right. That's coming up next here on The Pulse, Food for Thought.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to 107.7 FM, WTPLFM.com, streaming all around the world. And you're going to give some sponsors?
Yeah, let's give a little love to the Red Arrow Diner. Don't want to miss doing that. Manchester, Milford, and now the brand new drive-through location in Londonderry, just open, I-93 at Exit 5. Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room. And also New England Coffee, the official coffee a Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com.
There you go. And we're going to welcome on our next guest. I met her over at the Made in New Hampshire Expo, and I was also I was able to try some of her confections that she has. Let's welcome on Marie of Beer Curie. Hi, Marie.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing?
Very good. So people I know are probably wondering, what are you talking about, Beer Curie? So let us know, give us the background and how you came up with this and what you have to offer.
Oh, well, the name actually, well, Beer Curie, so we're beer baked goods. And the name kind of came about with my brother and I. We were discussing, we were like, oh, I put beer in all my baked goods. And he's like, well, why don't you just take the BA out of bakery and put in the beer, because that's what you're doing. And I'm like, you're genius, bro.
It really does go well together, too. I mean, Beer Curry. It sounds pretty cool.
Yes, it is. It is. And whenever, a lot of the ideas or some of the creations that I make, whether they're cupcakes or bread, a lot of it comes through the beer. So I let the beer, as I call it, like speak to me. And so you taste the notes, and the different types of crafted beer, I mean, really make a difference. in whether you're cooking or drinking.
Now, how did you just, I mean, how did you all of a sudden, I mean, were you a home cook and then, and you just started, you know, baking with beer? Is this how this all started?
Well, it started, I'd say probably a little 4 years ago when I was making an apple pie. So during the fall season, love apple pie, and I was drinking a nice hard cider. And so I was like, you know, why don't I mix this in and make like a pie crust and then make some, you know, make the pie and everything in it. And it just kind of like went there to, you know what, I love red velvet cake, but I wanted to just do something a little different. So I found this raspberry beer and put raspberries in there. So it just really kind of like cut through all that sweetness of a red velvet cake, but it added a nice like tanginess from the raspberries. And then I put a nice little mascarpone frosting on top, and it was just sold.
See, I would take that over a cream cheese topping for the red velvet cake. All right, now let me see if I understand this correctly, Marie. I have voices in my head that talk to me, but you're telling me that beer talks to you?
I know.
I just want to clarify that.
So,
yeah, but wait a minute. You just admitted that people talk to you. You have voices in your head,
yeah.
Mike.
No, I didn't. Yes, I did. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I know. It's the mad scientist that comes out of it, you know. Yes, what I mean by that, and I always get a chuckle when I tell people that I let the beer, like, talk to me, because when different types of crafted beer that gets produced, there's a lot of artistry that comes in, so it's kind of like looking at a painting, and the painting is not really saying anything to you, but you look at it and you're like, oh, I see what the artist is trying to tell me. And so that's how I look whenever I drink like different types of crafted beer. It's like, ooh, I taste this note or this one, and then that's where then I'm like, oh, this food would be fantastic with this. Like for example, White Birch does this beer called Hooksett Ale, and I make a caramel jalapeno cupcake. So I make a caramel sauce from the Hooksett Ale, and then make this delicious cupcake that has a caramel sauce inside, and then it has some of the heat of like fresh jalapenos that are you know, inside. So,
all right. So this is going to be a completely ignorant question. I bake and I like beer. And honestly, I'm not aware that I've ever had anything like what you do at the Beerkery. So is it more of a sweet or more of a savory or somewhere in between flavor for most of your products?
It's in between, because okay. I do have a bread line where I do one that's called like Vampires Love Garlic, and it's all fresh garlic like inside the bread.
Yum.
I have also one that's an Italian flag, so it's like sun-dried tomatoes, fresh garlic, and basil. And so you're getting a little bit more of that savory portion, but then I also do a blueberry wheat, which is excellent with our chicken salad. Because I don't know if you know, I open up a shop, and it's called Local Delights Cafe in downtown Nashua, and where we offer a lot of my bakery items here. So every bakery item has been, you know, blessed with beer.
Do I need an ID if I'm under 21? No. Talk to me about is it Mahua Mahua Maple?
Oh, the Manamana.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that struck me. I was trying to envision it. Talk to me about the flavor and the texture of that.
Oh, well, that one I use actually from Throwback Brewery out in Hampton. They have this maple wheat porter that is absolutely excellent. So they actually use like real maple from local in New Hampshire, and it just when I tasted that and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, it has the maple. It's like, let's do a maple bacon cupcake, but we need to add a twist to it. And I was like, we'll do a maple mustard frosting. So the frosting has just a hint of sweetness, but it has like that kung pao of a strong mustard. So then when you bite into the sweetness of like you get a little salty of the bacon, a little bit of the sweet of the maple, it just, it's like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what happened, but it works.
I think you just had a moment there while you were telling.
<I know>.
That's okay. Not judging.
Oh, my
all right,
goodness.
So you're you're talking bacon, which gives me a moment sometimes. But when I've tried a couple things, again, I'm not nearly as proficient or experienced as you are, but I do make a lot of things in the kitchen. I've never really had much success with bacon, or at least getting the flavor of it. Would the secret be adding more bacon renderings or what? I just can't make anything that I'm happy with involving bacon.
Oh, really? Well, I would look at the thickness of the bacon, because you really want like a good like thick slices, and you really want to cook it to where it's getting like a nice good crisp to it. Yeah, and then yes, I mean if you're not tasting enough bacon, then you need to add some more.
For those listeners just tuning in, we are talking with Marie of Beer Curie. And you can also check her out on the web at beercurie.com. And we're spelling that BEERKERY.com. And so now, is the shop that you're in Nashua, do you run that, or is your product in that shop?
No, I run it.
You
as
do? Okay.
Well. Yes. I have many hats.
Okay. So can you let listeners know where they can find you in Nashua?
Yes. So it's called Local Delights Cafe. It's in downtown Nashua on 2 Temple Street. So we're just right off of Main Street. If anyone is familiar with Main Street, we're right off of Kelly Ayotte building.
Yeah. Isn't that right around the corner from the late Villa Blanca?
A little bit. We're a little bit further up.
Further up, okay.
Yeah. All right. And so we're just a cute little shop. You come in, and we have the colors of, like, the orange, the browns, and then we got nice little pretty birch tree posters. That poster's like wallpaper, like it's on there. So it's a nice little focal point. Very nice little, like, I guess, bistro kind of feel. You want to come in, you feel warm and cozy, and you're like, yeah, what you got to eat?
what are your hours over there?
So our hours currently are from 10 to 4, Tuesday through Saturday. And as it gets warmer, we're going to be extending those hours.
Very good.
It's chilly lately for April.
Hey, how did you do, Marie, at the Made in New Hampshire Expo? Did you find that it was worth your time? Because it's a commitment to be there with the product and the hours and everything else.
Oh, yes, I did. I mean, overall, I did the show last year, and I was very happy, and so I came back this year. And, again, there were no complaints. I mean, I think one was the weather was really nice outside, so I think more people were outside than inside. But I still got a lot of people that were coming through, a lot of, like, interested folks and wanting to do some wholesaling. So, yeah, so I always – and the staff there, so helpful. Like, oh, my gosh. I can't even tell you how they're just like, oh, you know, don't forget this, do this, and blah, blah, blah. And they're just really trying to help promote your business. So
yeah, they do.
I do appreciate them a lot.
Yeah, and it's all about branding, you know, being out, just meeting people and, you know, like you said, getting some wholesale orders. That's great. That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a great show to bring your family and, you know, it's just nice overall. Absolutely.
Well, I'm very intrigued by some of these things that you make, so I will need to connect my tongue with some of the goodies, the cocoa bacon chip and the caramel jalapeno cake. And
did you see the queso con jalapeno bread?
Of course I did, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course I did.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah. It's interesting that you credit your French lineage on your mom's side and your dad being Ecuadorian as kind of the scientific or perhaps experimental side. Is that how this whole thing came to be, sort of in your mind?
Yes. It's funny because my degree is in exercise science and nutrition, and so I took a lot of chemistry in college. And I guess that's where you could see, like, the mad scientist kind of portion came out, because baking is a science. Not that I haven't had a few flops, but everything is precision. You've got to have the right amount of quantity when you put everything in order for the product to come out the best. So that whole scientific portion really was intriguing in that aspect. But then, you know, my mom, she's just very creative, and things that she comes up with, it's like, oh my gosh, that's, like, you know, wonderful. And she's the one who's, like, more of the artsy music side. You know, I can't sing, but I can dance, so we're good.
Well, good. Marie, thank you so much for taking the time and call in and having us learn more about Beer Curie. And I'm going to get down to Nashua. You said Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4, and then as the weather gets a little warmer, you may extend those hours.
Yes, especially like on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You know,
yeah, perfect.
Come outside and, you know, enjoy a nice little sandwich or soup or salad. We also offer smoothies and... on Fridays, if you love spring rolls, I do my own spring rolls.
Ooh.
So we have Spring Roll Friday.
All right.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And,
thank you so much.
We'll be seeing you. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. We're going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. You are listening to The Pulse 107.7, and we're also streaming live on WTPLFM.com. And, I think we're going to continue talking a little bit about beer.
Well, and when I was thinking with Marie Chantel Hardy, who was our guest, who makes bakery creations with craft beer, which I hadn't heard of. It does make sense.
It does.
I
tasted it.
And you did.
It's very good.
It's
very
good. I wonder if she would be able to do this if the age of craft beers hadn't exploded the way they had. I mean, 25 years ago, you had Bud, you had Miller, you had Michelob, you had Coors, and a couple of the Strohs and some other regional beers. I can't imagine she'd be able to do some of these really intricately flavor profile desserts without the help of the craft beers. So she better hopes that never goes away.
I don't think it will. Oh my gosh, it's like so popular right now. I mean, they're even doing beer pairings. Mm-hmm. Pairings. They do beer pairings.
And
why not?
Yeah,
crazy.
In fact, you and I are the only two people that don't make beer at home. Everybody else in the country is making it. Now, doesn't it seem that way?
It's true.
Wow. So along the lines of beer, I thought this would be some interesting kind of a transition. Believe it or not, Ben and Jerry's is making a beer flavored ice cream.
I don't know about that, but I don't know.
But why would that be different than if you were doing a baked goods, too? Because it involves sugar and stuff.
I don't know. I'm just thinking of ice cream and beer. I don't know. To me, it doesn't...
You're not the only one that doesn't like the idea, and not for that reason either. They were considering a marijuana-flavored ice cream. Which, of course... But remember, it's Vermont, right? Where pretty much anything goes. The Burlington... And I got this from USA Today, so I'm going to read a little bit from it here. The Burlington, Vermont ice cream specialist, known for its often wacky flavor combinations, announced last week that it plans to create a craft beer dubbed Salted Caramel Brownie Brown Ale with Fort Collins, Colorado-based New Belgium Brewing. The brew is tentatively scheduled to hit the market this fall. Quote, "Our fans can expect something both delicious and impactful," said Jay Curley, senior global marketing manager. But the marketplace impact may be quite different than what Ben & Jerry's, which is owned by Unilever, intended. I didn't realize they were owned by a big company. Although the move comes at a time when the craft beer market is exploding, there is a parallel national movement to protect children from being marketed or influenced by makers of adult-focused products like tobacco and alcoholic beverages. Some wonder if Ben & Jerry's, a progressive chain that has long stood up for important social and environmental issues, has crossed a line. It's a crass, corporate, greedy move to put a brand name like Ben & Jerry's on a beer, says Bruce Livingston, executive director and CEO of Alcohol Justice, an alcohol industry watchdog consumer group. It's bad for children who will start looking at beer as the next step after ice cream. Seriously? I don't think so. So actually, you know what? It's not an ice cream. I think I said that it was. It's a beer with their name on it.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
So which makes, but you can see where the social watchdogs are not happy with this.
Okay. I get it now.
Executive from Ben & Jerry did not immediately respond to phone and email requests for comment on the criticism, but a press release from both companies about the Ben & Jerry's ice cream inspired beer says the two like-minded businesses have long championed similar causes, such as minimizing carbon pollution and supporting sustainable agriculture. This project will focus on environment awareness as well. So there you go. Ben and Jerry's into the beer business, and the social watchdogs of our world are saying, nope, that means kids are going to want to get into that.
You did get me at salted caramel, though. When you said that, I'm like,
yes. The name of the beer was so long, I almost forgot what it was, but it did have salted.
Salted caramel and brown ale something, something, something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
here
it is.
You did have me at that.
Salted caramel brownie brown ale.
Brownie. Salted caramel.
I mean, it does taste good.
Brown ale. That must be, well, must be sweet, obviously. Yeah, okay, so... Yeah, Ben and Jerry's name on some beer. That may cause some ruckus.
Well, it may, because they have been the the social conscience of kind of the consumer world in a lot of ways. And so they want to try something different. Personally, I don't see any harm in that. I'm not afraid that kids are going to be running to the ice box in the middle of the night to grab a Ben and Jerry's ice cream-inspired beer. But you never know.
I wonder, whatever happened to Ben and Jerry? Like, didn't they break off for a while, too, or, a while ago, and then, I don't know.
Well, there you go. There's your homework for tonight,
Carol. Yeah,
whatever happened to Ben and Jerry's?
Whatever happened to them?
I think they're still alive and well and making a boatload of money
up
in Vermont.
Exactly. All right, you're listening to Food for Thought. Up next is Kale and Company. He's not here at 30 Rock on Elm. He must be over in Bow. And, tomorrow we're going to talk wine. We're going to talk comedy, wine, and spices. So stay tuned tomorrow, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.